going to call a Tuesday, May 5th Common Council meeting to order. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mayor Olson.
Here.
Alderman D'Andrea.
Here.
Alderman Mayer.
Here.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Here.
Alderwoman Evans.
Here.
Alderman Schmidt.
Here.
Alderwoman Mayer.
Excused. We have two Eagle Scouts with the Pleva. Young men, please come forward and lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Please rise and join us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Folks, I'm going to jump around the agenda a little bit this evening. So the first thing that I'm going to take up on the agenda is proclamations for Nick and Daniel Pleva. So join us up. This is a proclamation for Eagle Scout. Both of them have earned their Eagle Scout, and with their permission, I'm going to read the one proclamation and intersperse their names on the same proclamation, so it'll save us all doing the same thing twice. This is a certificate of achievement for Nicholas and Daniel Pleva. Whereas the development of our youth, both boys and girls, is greatly enhanced by active participation in scouting, and whereas Nicholas and Daniel, by study, hard work, and perseverance, have successfully progressed through the various ranks in scouting, and whereas such dedication and industriousness has resulted in Nicholas and Daniel earning the highest award in scouting, that of Eagle Scout, and whereas Nicholas and Daniel's achievement have broadened their knowledge and experience and will help them in all of their future endeavors, and whereas Nicholas and Daniel's parents, the scouting leaders, his friends, and the community are proud of their achievement, now therefore I, Mayor Stephen R. Olson, on behalf of the Common Council and the residents of the City of Franklin, do hereby present the certificate of achievement to Nicholas and Daniel on the occasion of them becoming Eagle Scout, and ask all the residents of the City of Franklin to join me in congratulating Nicholas and Daniel on this outstanding achievement.
They needed, and one of the things he needed was duck houses and park benches. For mine was at Greenfield Park out on West Dallas on 116th and Lincoln. So after a couple months of working on that, having gone through various fundraising operations, we were finally able to get my project all together, and in October of last year I got my duck houses and benches in the park.
And then I also went through Brian Russert's and got a project for Jackson Park. I built four duck houses, four benches, and two picnic tables for them. We put them in around September, and so far they've been moved around. Then come December, I got the Eagle Scout.
Other guests here?
Yes, we have our grandparents. My grandfather did a lot of work on my Eagle Scout writing stand-up grants, and my grandma over there.
Traditionally, we go to a citizens' comment period, but due to the agenda this evening, I want to hold off on that. And without objection, we'll move to item G18, Matt Talbot Recovery Services, Inc., 5 to 8 bedroom.
Yeah,
why would we not have citizen comment period?
Yes.
Why would we not wait till our alderman is on the way?
All right. Well, let's all remember that we treat each other with respect, and this is a civic meeting. So, given that Alderwoman Mayer is not here, I will postpone that, but I'm going to do Matt Talbot first so that the citizens can get information and discuss Matt Talbot issues before they go into the citizen comment period where they can comment on anything they want.
Just a point of clarification.
Alderwoman.
So you're going to have the presentation by staff, then citizen comment period, then our action? Is that on that item? Is that?
No.
Okay.
My intention is to announce the issue, have staff do their presentation, then have the folks from Matt Talbot do their presentation, then ask for a suspension of the rules whereby citizens can comment on that issue specifically. Go back to regular order, and at that time, probably go into closed session.
Okay, well, couldn't we just do the regular citizen comment period at the beginning of the meeting for those that aren't addressing that item?
There's a specific reason why I'm doing it this way, Alderwoman, and we can talk about it in closed session, but I would appreciate just doing it as I suggest.
Okay.
Alderwoman Mayer is here. Please let the record reflect that. So I am going to go to item G18. Matt Talbot Recovery Services, Inc., 5-8-bedroom community-based residential facility for the property located at 9132 South 92nd Street. Letters and petitions from Angeline Benning regarding the CBRF facility at South 92nd Street and West St. Martin's Road, a site plan for the 5-8-bedroom state-licensed community-based residential facility, specifically for Matt Talbot Recovery Services, and a request from Matt Talbot Recovery Services to extend a water main along St. Martin's Road, a 90-degree bend to South 92nd Street and pass the driveway to terminate the water main at a possible future lot line. Common Council, in a minute, the Common Council may enter a closed session pursuant to Wisconsin Statutes 19.85 sub 1 sub G to confer with legal counsel for the Common Council and City Defense Council who are rendering advice concerning a strategy to be adopted by the body with respect to potential litigation with regard to the Matt Talbot Recovery Services, Inc. development and to re-enter open session the same place thereafter to act on such matters as discussed herein as it deems appropriate. I'm not looking for that motion at the moment. Okay. Mr. Deal. And also at the table is the city engineer, Mr. Morrow. There were several questions asked in relation to this particular development by constituents, and you both have those. Let's have it.
I have some information. I have some information that the council is looking for, but not all of it, in regards to the natural resources for the property. I had requested that the DNR go out at the site to determine navigability and wetland concurrence. The applicant, as the Common Council may recall, the applicant had hired a consultant to map the wetlands. That information had been provided by the consultant to the Army Corps. At my request, they submitted it to the DNR. I also requested the DNR to do the wetland concurrence and a navigability determination, followed up about a week later to ask them to do it for the entire property. Last week, Wednesday, the DNR was at that site to do the wetland concurrence with the consultant who had done the original delineation and a navigability determination. I've talked to the DNR staff who did the wetland concurrence, and they indicated to me that the wetland in the middle, the large wetland in the middle, had not changed from what the consultant had delineated. The small wetland on the north end of the property did have a small change, and that the wetlands on the south end of the property had some substantial or significant changes. The DNR has not submitted any written materials to me yet. This was just verbal over the phone. In regards to navigability, that person has been out of the office since that field delineation. I've left a couple messages and emails. They have not replied back to me. The person who did the wetland concurrence, and this is all second and third hand, not from the person who did the navigability, thought that they might not determine anything to be navigable. But again, I have nothing in writing, and for navigability, no conversation at all with that person. So navigability is still unknown, and I've not received anything in writing or a map yet. However, I can indicate that the applicant, the consultant for Matt Talbot, had just this afternoon submitted a revised site plan based on a wetland change, that northern wetland change, moving the building approximately 30 feet further south. I have copies of that information if the council wishes.
Thank you. Mr. Morrow, there was an issue relative to the state DOT and the possible roadway that you show on the monitor.
Yeah, as I mentioned at the Plan Commission a few nights after at your last council meeting, took a few days to get a hold of the right person at the DOT, and they confirmed that they do have a site plan that resembles what was shown at the last council meeting, in that 92nd Street would, in their mind, become a cul-de-sac, and they would like to come in Highway 100 at a more of a right angle. She told me that the plans are maybe 2021 or later is when the construction would occur, and they would start approaching property owners probably 3 or 4 years prior to for property acquisition. They are in no position right now to even entertain any property acquisition. I superimposed the proposed site plan over the copy of their plan sent to DOT, and she forwarded back this drawing where they looked at it, and they said, I'm going to paraphrase, that it's okay with them. They feel that there's enough other room that they could find another location to punch through to the highway. They are not interested in entertaining purchasing property at this time.
Well, let me read this for the record. It's from Vita Schaefer from the Department of Transportation to Mr. Morrow. Thank you for sending the attachment that has the potential development on it. That would be the one he just referenced with the Matt Talbot facility superimposed. She goes on to write, if this development were built, DOT would likely realign 92nd Street, then relocate a new building or business, since there is a fair amount of open space to look at this type of option, and we feel this would be cheaper for us. Just wanted to let you know that this specific circumstance, we feel there are options to moving 92nd Street. That's from Vita Schaefer from the Department of Transportation. Is that the same email you received?
Yes, sir.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
So for clarification, the road that's showing up there on the map, that's where the building would go now, correct? That was where their first option was? Do you have the overlay?
I got one right here.
This is the proposed Matt Talbot facility. And this is what DOT had proposed for their so obviously.
So where is the proposed possible second road if they don't put it there, if they're going to move it further south? Do they know that that will be a longer road and we'll have to cross a wetland versus putting it in the other spot, the DOT?
Yes, we discussed the possibility of how there is wetlands, and they have the rules are a little bit different than what we have to abide by, but they do have issues that they would mitigate or they feel that that's possible.
Okay.
Okay.
City engineer, I think we've also had further information or more detailed information.
Folks, you keep the discussions to a minimum. Thank you.
with regard to alternate water supply routes and the original recommendation from the Board of Water Commissioners as to the cost of this particular site and whether or not that's there's a more beneficial route which might be taken in the interest of the city.
The Board of Water Commissioners has not met since your last meeting. But during the original discussion, it was discussed that it could go down Highway 100 or down 92nd Street. It was advantageous for the development to occur because they would actually pay for a significant portion of that water main. The only thing the city would have to pay for is the upsizing of the water main from an 8-inch to, I believe, a 12-inch or maybe a 16. And if this development did not occur and we had to extend the entire water main ourselves, we would have to pick up the entirety of that cost. Does that address your question?
Yes. The folks from Matt Talbot have asked to have time to present their own issues. Are those folks here? We ask that you use the microphones, please, and give us your name and address for the record.
I am Robert Thein-Pleitel. I am the attorney for Matt Talbot. My address is 1110 North 3rd Street in Milwaukee. We'll just go around.
Sure. I'm James Matthew. I'm the housing administrator for the Milwaukee County Housing Division. Address is 600 West Walnut Street, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Suite 100.
Nathan Laurent with Keller. Address is West 204 North 11509 Goldendale Road, Germantown, Wisconsin.
Antonio DeShazer, Executive Director of Matt Talbot Recovery Services. Address 2613 West North Avenue.
Hi, Darren Matafka, Executive Vice President with Matt Talbot Recovery Services, 4650 South Howell Avenue in Milwaukee.
Thank you, gentlemen.
What we propose to do, Mayor, is exactly the same lineup we had at the public informational meeting we held, and we propose to do a very brief version of that information.
Is that better?
Much better, thank you.
Okay. So, yes, we'd like to start out with Mr. Laurent and... I think he can address some of the approval issues and the current state of the plan.
So to also discuss a couple items that was talked about by staff, one being the DNR concurrence. The additional wetlands identified at the north part of the property by the DNR delineator, along with our consultant, are considered seasonal wetlands. So in spring, they were evident, and it was pretty apparent that they were low-performing wetlands and that they likely weren't present last fall when we did our delineation. However, they still are wetlands, and we still have to abide by them and all of their setbacks. The additional wetlands on the north side of the property are minimal and does not impact our development. There are still over 100 feet to the south of the proposed building and parking lot before we encounter the setback from the large wetland, as everyone's described, in the middle of the property. So, the delineation that we did back in October, just to touch on something, because I know there's been a lot of comments about, you know, why wasn't the DNR out there right away or not. I talked about it in the public meeting, but wanted everyone on council to understand that when we started working on developing this project, we went through our normal process, and doing a wetland delineation was part of that. It just happened to be the time of year that it was the end of October. Growing season comes to an end. October 21st, we did the delineation. take the information back. It takes us a couple of weeks to plot those and put together all the proper reports for submittal. It is then middle of November, which is not a time when the DNR can come out and concur on a wetland. Took the rest of the winter to solidify our plans with the city and come to submittals. So there wasn't anything done out of a normal procedure for delineating the wetlands on our end. To touch on those setbacks, I did also talk with the consultant that was out on site from Excel and feel strongly that there isn't going to be a navigability determination on that wetland. Even if there was a navigability determination for the north wetland, that would not affect our development. It will change the setback to be greater, but as I talked about earlier, we have over 100 feet from the south side of our building and parking lot before we encounter another setback. So if it was determined to be navigable, which would be the worst-case scenario, we don't feel that that will be. It would be a simple matter of adjusting our site plan to move the building and parking lot south to accommodate a larger setback from that area. To talk about a couple other items that were brought up about the DOT, there is a 40-foot building setback along Highway 100. Currently, our plans show that the building is 107 feet from Highway 100. In the future, if Highway 100 gets widened, right now the portion of the property where our building is being put, there's 65 foot from the center line to the edge of the property line. There are portions of state highways which do have an 80-foot setback from center line of road to the property line. That is very common, so if they wanted to in the future widen Highway 100, they would have to purchase 25 feet of land along Highway 100 from our owner. If that happened, certainly we would still be far within the 40-foot building setback of Highway 100. So even in the future, if Highway 100 gets widened, our plans do not impact that. They will have to deal with, as staff alluded to, wetland issues that they do have a different set of rules they have to abide by. There is also a 30-foot landscape buffer that Matt Talbot has set aside along Highway 100 at the request of staff to buffer from the highway on that side of the building. So I guess in summation of the wetland concurrence and the navigability study, worst-case scenario, neither of those issues affect our development and our ability to place this building and parking lot on the north side of the site in between the two wetlands. That's yours.
Mr. Laurent, let's say you had an approval in hand and you could proceed with the next steps. What are the next steps with regard to city approval?
Yep, our next step would be to take all of the information that we've received from council, requests from the mayor about relocating the driveway, and develop those plans in coordination with staff into final submittal plans for building permit application. So our next step is to finalize, you know, we're kind of as far as we can go right now with everything, so it's to take all the comments that we've heard about, you know, things like the basketball hoop, people not wanting them, eliminating that from the plan, adjusting for the new wetland setbacks, making an adjustment on the driveway as approved at Planning Commission, and taking that full submittal and turning it into the city an application for a building permit.
And then is there a point in time when you need to start construction in order to meet the deadlines that you've been given by your client in Milwaukee County?
Yes, we do need to move forward with construction to meet our deadlines by mid-June. So those deadlines are looming imminent. So.
And then you were involved in the discussions about the water extension?
I was.
And am I correct that if it had been extended to the end of the property, Matt Talbot would have had some additional cost, correct?
That is correct. They would have had to bear the cost from the point we have it approved at now until the end of the property would have been an additional cost for Matt Talbot.
And would that also have been an additional cost for the city of Franklin?
That would have also, yes, correct. Matt Talbot only needs for our development an 8-inch water main. As is typically done, a lot of cities, when you're extending a public water main, the city will reimburse the client for what the size of the water main needs to be to service other people in that area. So in our instance, engineering from Franklin determined that they needed a 16-inch water main to meet their engineering specifications, so they would reimburse Matt Talbot over the course of 5 years for the upsizing from an 8-inch water main to a 16-inch water main.
And so they don't have to pay for that additional stuff at this time?
That's correct.
All right. Mayor, of course, you can ask him questions, but I would propose that we just go through everybody and then let the council ask whatever they want of these people.
The time is yours.
Okay. All right. So let's move over to the Matt Talbot folks, and can you just tell us a little bit about how this is going to be operated, what it is?
Sure.
It's a 5-to-8-bed CBRF. What is that?
A 5-to-8-bed community, state-licensed, community-based residential facility. These are patients who are currently in a long-term care facility out at the Milwaukee County Mental Health Complex. That's closing. They're being transitioned back into the community because that's the appropriate placement for them. They are not, it is not appropriate to have these people long-term hospitalized when they're appropriate for community living. They're chronic and persistent mental illness. They have co-occurring physical disabilities. They require 24-hour support and care. That's going to be done by a 1-to-1 ratio of human service technicians, in addition to occupational therapists, nursing staff, psychiatrists and psychologists, helping them stay on their medications, helping them with their activities of daily living, and making sure that the facility is run in a professional fashion.
And then, Mr. Matavka, will there be a nurse there at all times?
No. There's typically nursing care less than 7 hours a day.
And I've been told the age range is generally of the, and we actually know something about the people that are likely to go there. We're not certain, but.
Generally these are all men. They're over the age of 35. Most of them have been there for 5 or more years. In fact, one of them has been there 10 years.
The oldest ones are in their early 60s?
Yes, indeed.
And do they have health problems in addition to having a diagnosis?
No question about it.
What kinds of things?
Diabetes, some long-term illnesses, some have cancer. Some have a lot of physical disabilities. And so they need that regular care.
And is it expected that this is the last place that these folks will ever live?
Indeed, that's the intention.
And the construction plans specify a higher degree of accessibility in terms of doorways and ramps and everything than is typical, right?
Yeah.
And why is that?
That's required by the code. I mean, the state regulator and obviously local building standards say that you have to have all of the fire and health and safety requirements met for that particular target population, and that's what we intend to do.
And it'll have a fire sprinkler system?
No question.
And that's why you need the big water main.
That's right.
Okay. And then what is the process? First of all, can you get a CBRF license from the state right now?
No, you cannot. You cannot get a final CBRF license until the building is built and they do their own inspection.
And so that'll happen sometime later in the summer, early fall?
Yeah, once the building is completed, we'll have the Division of Quality Assurance come in and they'll check all of our policies and procedures. They'll check all of our training records on the staff we intend to have there, that they've met all of the CBRF training requirements. And if we have done all of those things, they then will issue us a license.
And then does the Division of Quality Assurance, do they come in periodically then to inspect CBRF?
They come in regularly. In addition, we obviously are doing this under contract with Milwaukee County Human Services, and they will be regularly meeting and inspecting our operations.
Okay. And then can the state, if the state receives any kind of complaint or concern, what do?
They come in and investigate, and if there are issues, we're going to have to do a corrective action plan.
And then they're currently in a skilled nursing facility, right?
That's correct.
But somebody has reevaluated them and said they don't need it in skilled nursing facility any longer?
That's correct.
And so you're a step down from that?
Exactly.
Okay. And Matt Talbot does serve some other populations like alcohol and drug, right?
We do.
And you run shorter-term treatment facilities?
That's correct.
Okay. Anybody going into this place, anybody plan to go to this place, anybody that under the county contract could go to this place that's got an alcohol and drug problem?
They may have some of them may have histories of alcohol and drug problems. There's a high incidence of co-occurring substance abuse issues with folks with chronic and persistent mental illness. If they needed drug treatment, though, that's where they would be going. They would not be going to this facility.
Okay. And I guess and then actually I think I'm done with you. Thank you. Okay.
Good evening, Mayor, Council members. Thank you for your time tonight. So again, my name is James Matthew. I'm the Housing Director for Milwaukee County. I just want to say a few brief words about what the Housing Division is and the county's interest in this particular CBRF. So within the Housing Division is our Section 8 program, our home program, a lot of our special needs and homeless programs, which is our interest in this particular development. We do a lot of housing location services for people with disabilities in Milwaukee County. This is a little unique because these are actually our clients. They're on the county grounds and they're county clients, where otherwise that might not be the case. We're very interested in closing these long-term care facilities down. It's not the best place for these clients whatsoever. They should be in the community. So the county did an RFP for this exact service. It's something we're very passionate about. Matt Talbot, due to their experience, won that RFP. So again, the county is looking at closing all the long-term care units, and this would be an option for five individuals. One of the other areas that's very important to this case potentially is the Housing Division also controls the county CDBG funds, which Franklin is a subrecipient of those funds. We, due to the Fair Housing Act, we have to affirmatively further fair housing as a county, and all of our subrecipients sign a cooperation agreement to not only do status quo but affirmatively further fair housing. This is a potential huge issue in this case. To the point where I'm very worried about block grant funds, and we would very likely have to suspend Franklin CDBG funds for 2015 and going forward if it does turn out through an investigative process that this was a fair housing violation. So I did want to say that publicly. Just a quick example of 2015 CDBG services that Franklin receives, senior meal program, emergency home repair, signage for senior programs. So it's not just the county and Franklin are both at risk with fair housing issues with this case as far as we could potentially see it. Again, it depends on the outcome of this hearing and potential legal issues, but it is absolutely a very real possibility that we have to suspend block grant funding in the future. So I did want to say that publicly.
I better just say a few lawyer things.
And there are a number of things that you've heard from us, a number of things that we brought up at the public information meeting that I don't think have anything to do with the legal issues here, but we want to reassure people that this is a provider that's going to do a good job. It's a high level of staffing. We already know that there are these people waiting at the Milwaukee County Behavioral Health Division. They've been determined not to need to live there anymore, and they have to find someplace else. And you've heard about the construction deadlines, and so that is why we're just very concerned that this project move forward as quickly as possible. You've got a lawyer, you've got two lawyers who can advise you about the details of the things I'm going to say, but just basically, the question is whether this project would have been subject to anything resembling this scrutiny if it had just been a residence, a single-family residence that went in, got approvals, submitted their plans, and the answer is there wouldn't have been this level of scrutiny. There wouldn't be a hearing tonight. There wouldn't have been the rescission motions. If it had been a facility for people with Alzheimer's, we heard right on the council record, that was okay. That's what the council thought when it was approving the original water main extension. And so, you know, the only conclusion is that the reason we are now going through this is not for a good zoning or land use reason, but because folks found out that this was going to serve people with mental illness. And so something I feel passionate about, I'm an advocate for people with disabilities. I am not pounding the table about the law. We're just trying to answer legitimate questions that people have about what the program's going to be. But at the end of the day, the lawyer has to say this is a permitted use. The council can simply reaffirm all of the previous approvals, let Mr. Laurent work in a collaborative way with city staff. There isn't going to be any tricks here. If the delineation comes back a certain way, the property is going to, the building is going to move a few feet south. It may move a little bit more. But there's enough setback, and that's just not an issue. And then speaking to the DOT question, again, none of this would have even come up if this had been a single-family home for that didn't have a license as a CBRF, or if it had been an Alzheimer's CBRF. And we wouldn't be talking about where the 92nd Street rebuild is going to go or whatever. We've heard from the DOT, this is the same information we got independently, by the way, that the most likely outcome is going to be DOT is going to say it's a lot easier to put it through the southern half of the property instead of tearing down a group home that was just built a few years before. And that's assuming they're really going to go at it into 2021. Remember, this is a plan from 1997 that hasn't gone anywhere yet. The other thing I'll say about that is Matt Talbot is a profit-making organization, and I expect that that's going to come up in some of the comments tonight. And I'll tell you that whenever I'm in this kind of hearing with a nonprofit, the people opposed to a group home say, you know, they aren't going to pay taxes. Well, here we are. They're going to pay taxes. And you'll probably hear something about it isn't right to have a business in a residential area, but your lawyer, everybody knows, a small CBRF is a permitted use. It's not considered a business. It's considered the home of the people who live there. And one other thing I wanted to say, I'm almost finished. Oh, one of the other questions we had was, what's with the 5 to 8 beds? Milwaukee County contracted with Matt Talbot for 5 beds. That's the plan. Mr. Laurent tells me that they looked at what's the cost to build out the basement now rather than going back years from now or whenever it might be desirable to add 1 or 2 or 3 more people. And so it's being built out as an 8-bed. The plan is to license it as a 5-bed, but either way, it doesn't matter. Up to 8-bed is a permitted use. But again, there's no trickery there. Yes, it's being built out as 8 beds, but the county contract is only 5. So that's all the information we have, and we're happy to answer questions.
Just a couple of points, Mr. Plato, please, if you will. On your letter, April 28, 2015, you actually asked me for this hearing on May 5th, did you not?
Yes, I did.
Okay, thank you. You need to be clear for that.
You also asked that you be afforded the opportunity to discuss any of the neighbors' concerns at this meeting.
I don't know for sure what you're asking, Mayor, but I understand there's now going to be public comments, and we would just like an opportunity to clear up any issues that are raised, but it's just going to be in the same format. If we feel like there's some additional piece of information we should provide, we'd just like an opportunity to do that. I'm not going to cross-examine anybody. We understand that you're not holding that kind of hearing.
Thank you. We're not. Before I ask for a motion to suspend the order of business, I just want to remind everybody that Franklin treats everyone with respect.
Yep.
On both ends. And I will order people from the room. Make no doubt about it. Let's treat each other with respect, okay? Is there a motion to suspend the regular order of business to allow citizens to speak?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Point of clarification. I have a point of clarification.
On a motion to suspend the rules?
No, not on that. It's something that was said earlier before you asked for the motion.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Just that it was the word hearing was mentioned a couple times, and my understanding, a hearing is usually a public hearing that requires notice. Is this officially being termed a actual public hearing, or is...
Mr. City Attorney.
No.
Thank you.
Is there any member of the public that wishes to ask a question of the applicant in a respectful and... Yes, ma'am. Please come forward and give your name and address. You've done it before.
I'm Elizabeth Perolo, 9218 West Briarwood Drive. My property faces the 92nd Street where they're going to be placing this. I started out my comments, but they've pretty well been addressed about the actual people that are be going into this. We had four meetings prior to this where we were told that they were the elderly, handicapped, the wounded veterans, the car accident victims, and the Alzheimer's patients. And the article in the journal provided the clarification exactly what the county is going to be bringing in to this facility. I guess I was kind of hurt because honesty, I guess, is expected from everyone except the government in this case, because we were not, I don't believe you were honest with us telling us who was coming into this. My concern tonight is going to be a little story. Our subdivision's oldest resident is Grandma Harang. She's 93 years old. Everybody know Grandma Harang? As we drive up and down 92nd Street, we see her out there raking leaves, shoveling snow, and bringing her garbage cans up and down. Grandma lives alone in her house and has enjoyed looking out her front window at an undisturbed wetland. Last week, someone came and installed a very large sign facing directly into her window saying, commercial, big word, commercial building going up, financed by Puramax Bank. Yep. Go down 92nd Street. It's huge, and it's facing right into Grandma's window. Okay, this is wrong on so many levels. First, this is supposed to be residential, right? Why would you say commercial? When the new homes were built in our subdivision over the last couple years, no one installed a sign on their front lawn saying, my house is being sponsored, my Puramax, or my finances coming from Puramax. Why does this have to be thrown in the face of a 90-year-old lady every morning when she looks out her window? I think somebody here owes Grandma an apology, and somebody should go gate down that sign tomorrow. Just a quick aside. This facility will be located directly under the severe weather siren. How will people with very complex medical challenges react to a severe weather siren going off every month? Will the city have to pay to have that removed? Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. We're not moving it. A response from the applicant? Any issues with the siren and the patients?
We just don't see any issues. We'll take down the sign.
Please do.
I assume the bank put that up, not anybody here.
Anyone else wishing to ask a question to the applicant? Please come forward.
Leroy Levandusky, 8030 West Winston Way. I'm concerned about the fact that the county owns so much land that it's vacant throughout the city of Franklin, and why would they pick up a piece of property that has all those beautiful woods and wetlands in them? And I don't see any diagrams that these people have presented to us as to where the building is, and why are we at this last minute talking about what the OT is? And Thursday again, we're going to have another public hearing. All of this is kind of useless unless we get through with the Thursday public hearing. But I want to present the fact that since the county's got all this land, and I want to tell you about the fact that we have a facility called Elizabeth, who built it way out at a nice piece of land. And people in there do not need to go outside. They can, but they're in amongst other residents. The residents built their homes after Elizabeth. And I'm quite informed as to the way these people are treated in the facility because a member of my family is in there. However, I don't see any reason why county should be doing this to the neighbors. There's plenty of land around here. Also, these people that are living there, they're not paying their way. Aren't they being paid by the city, by the county of Milwaukee? I mean, their expenses, are they paying for themselves or are the taxpayers paying for them to be there? And I think what I understand, therefore, they're on the taxpayers' budget. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lewandowski.
Yeah, I can answer some of these questions, I believe. As far as the county's choice on site, the siting choices for these types of things are done by the developer, not Milwaukee County. The interest of the county is the site therapeutic for our residents, and this is absolutely the case. I mentioned the woods and everything else. It is a very good site for what this is. The county's concern is doing this in a timely manner.
Sorry about that.
No, that's okay. The other issue for us, this is a permitted use, which is attractive to us. It doesn't require special zoning per se. The county certainly owns land all over the county, most of it's parkland and various different uses. But, you know, we're interested in working with developers that can find a permitted use such as this site. One of the other questions was about who's paying for the cost of care. Milwaukee County is paying for a majority of the cost of care, absolutely. It's a significant cost savings to the taxpayer moving to this location from the skilled nursing facility. There are now, there's without a doubt a cost savings for this move.
Thank you. Anyone else? Please come forward, give your name and address.
Tom Harang, 9147 South Main Second. The grandma that they refer to is my mother, who was very upset over the sign, but that's not an issue as far as the building. What I would like to know is they're going to, they talk about a buffer zone on Highway 100. What about the residents, the five homes that are directly across the street from this proposal? What type of buffer or what type of consideration are we going to be given as far as taxpayers and property owners? I own two pieces of property plus the one that my mother lives on. So I'm directly involved with financial, I consider a loss now because of this facility. They can say what they want legally. And as far as handicap and everything else. We have a person in our family that is handicapped, and I understand that. But I also understand the fact that citizens that pay taxes have some rights, too. But it seems like they've been taken away from us. And we sit back here and listen to a lawyer tell us, suck it up, buddies, and we're going to do it. It's all fine. But I think the city of Franklin should investigate a little bit more into some of these projects before we go jumping into the water. It just seems like this didn't have a lot of thought behind it. I've lived there 69 years, watched subdivision be developed. I was born on a farm off right on Ryan Road, right behind where my dad built the house on 92nd. So I've seen a lot of things go on in this city. I've worked for the city. I've worked in the city. And, I always thought that the city of Franklin had a good outlook on the future development. We have a landfill to the southwest of us. I have the House of Correction directly to the east of us. So maybe the city would like to look into finding a state prison that we could put down in the southern part of our county. Honestly, why don't we look at development that's going to do some good for us? I mean, there's been a lot of land and opportunities for this development besides ruining a community that's been around for a long time. I know it's going to go through, but I had to come up here and at least say my piece. And as far as the security factor, which I think is important, they keep talking about mental illness, taking medication, but now the nurse is only going to be there for a little while, and then these people are going to be what, left? What? Who's going to watch them? Who's going to take care of them? Of course, you're going to stick some of them in the basement. I wouldn't even let my granddaughter sleep in the basement, for crying out loud. So I don't know what this basement, sleeping and facilitating people in a basement, that to me doesn't even make sense. But thank you.
So there was a couple of questions there. One of them related to screening along 92nd Street. The other one related to occupancy in the basement. So you want to address those, please?
Yep. So screening along 92nd Street, our building is set back 62 feet from the property line, so there's a 45-foot building setback along 92nd. Our plans, as with this whole project, is to kind of talk about why we chose this site is because it has a lot of great natural resources. It's a beautiful site. Everything that everyone loves looking at out their window is a reason why we chose this site. So we tried to keep as many natural trees, mature woodland trees along that road. That was critical in our driveway placement in an area that would disturb the least amount of mature woodlands. Everybody here says they know the site, and they know that it's going to be, the building isn't going to be hardly visible with the amount of thick undergrowth and mature trees on that side. So the screening is naturally provided by everything you've looked at before. You're going to see a driveway for 8 months out of the year. In the winter, you may see a glimpse of some siding or some shingles when the leaves are off the trees along 92nd Street. To talk about occupants in the basement, these basement is not just buried down there. There are 5 foot by 4 foot egress windows. We have large area wells built into the basement. There are very high ceilings in the basement. So it's an efficient way for our owner to provide future needs if they come about at the county level or a different facility by building out the basement for more people. So it's a very comfortable basement. We'd be happy to have anybody else look at the rest of the plans if they want to see how it's structured. So.
Mr. DeShazer or Darren?
Couple things. First is, I'd like anyone to show research that says a community-based residential facility it negatively impacts folks' property values, because in 20 years of working in this field, I've never seen one. Secondly, there were some concerns about when the nurse leaves, what happens. On first and second shift, there's an average of 5 staff persons on at all times. On third shift, there's 2 to 3 staff while they're sleeping. This is a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week, 365-day staffed facility. So while we may have nurses that are only there to do limited medical care, less than 7 hours is the requirement under a community-based residential facility, and all of these patients will have to meet that requirement.
And then I'm just going to say this, Mayor, and that is I've been doing this for 35 years. My first job was out at the Milwaukee County grounds as a public defender, only representing people who were living in the county grounds. There's way over 1,000 people in these types of units at that time, and over the years we've said we don't need that, we need to develop more community facilities, and people I knew and cared about were nice people. They just happened to have very serious mental illness. They lived into their old age and they died there. And so we're talking about the last few people, and I think Milwaukee County owes them something. And I'm happy that this is a beautiful piece of property. I'll tell you that my wife and I hiked around on it quite a bit on Saturday. This is a beautiful piece of property, and I'm happy that they're going to have a chance to live there.
Mr. Salmon.